Hi, I'm Charlie. I fight fires and I save lives.
My name's Renee. I'm a cardiologist. I save lives.
My name's Anthony. I'm an EMT. I save lives.
You don't have to be a professional to save a life. Firefighters, doctors, and others save lives. You can too. Don't wait. To learn more about the warning signs and how you can help prevent suicide, visit save.org. In a crisis, call the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 1-800-273-TALK.
CLW 83 Network. Tune in.
The following podcast contains graphic language that may offend some listeners. Discretion is advised.
And now, WrestleChat.net presents the North American Wrestling Connection, bringing you great wrestling discussion since 2007. Sanctioned by
Chris Rose and Sean Casey.
What sports honor would you like to have, Rosie?
I would like to go to the Indianapolis 500 and say, gentlemen and ladies, start your engines. What about you?
I want to be the referee, special guest referee at WrestleMania for John Cena and The Rock.
Of course you
do. Is that cool? I think that'd be awesome.
All right, so let's say that somebody gets pinned. What does it look like? How are you calling it?
I slide down and give it the 1, 2, 3. You're out.
That's it?
Yeah, then I start flexing.
Boy, Casey, you got to work on your game a little bit here.
And welcome once again, ladies and gentlemen, to our semi-award-winning event known as the North American Wrestling Connection. My name is Nikki Heyman. It seems our table has yet to fill up, but we are getting there. So let me just introduce who did manage to show up for the evening tonight. My current Slammy Award winner for Best Statistician for our humble little event, Statboy Josh Henniger.
What you gonna do when the Hulkster drops a bomb on you? And by bomb, I mean lawsuit.
Do elaborate, sir, because I'm allergic to TMZ. I'll let you play with that for a moment while I go look for something a little more palatable. Go on.
Right. All right. Here's our top story, unfortunately. Apparently, Hulk Hogan is suing his ex-wife, Linda Bollea, for more or less defaming him in her book. I'm trying to remember the title, but I don't give a fuck. But anyway, he's dropping a lawsuit on Linda, mainly because she claims in the book that he abused Linda for years and that he had a homosexual affair with, well, guess who? Yeah, that guy.
Ultimate Warrior?
You know. Not quite. The sheer power of destructicity would destroy planet Earth at that point. Hogan's longtime running buddy, Brutus the Barber Beefcake.
You mentioned to me before we went on the air that even Brutus wasn't too keen on this, or was he the one who told Hogan, hey, brother, look at this mess?
Actually, he's not too keen on this crap either, if memory serves correct. Yeah, he's also suing over the gay allegations.
Can't say I blame him. Now, obviously, this is, you know, I'm just going to stand here and, you know, this is internet radio, ladies and gentlemen, but for this wondrous lead story, I want you to watch carefully just exactly how many fucks I give.
Zero! Look at all the fucks you give! Zero!
Ta-da! I'm really good at this. I am really good at this. And if it was something that we could vote on right away, this is the first thing I do. But I can't do that.
Sure, you can. It's your show after all.
I can do that, but let me open this other door over here and bring in my Slammy Award winner for Catchphrase of the Year, Mr. Brian Henniger.
Hit him with the candy cane. How you doing, guys?
Hey, you're late, sir.
I was at a Christmas party.
As it is.
Well, I seem to have been late on something as well. I am still trying to find out, and I want to know who authorized the sale of the ECW arena.
Apparently, this one's been in the works for months, where some religious nut job group, well, more or less bought ECW arena away from the owner. I don't care if they are perfectly sane or not, but you're more or less destroying, what is it, 16 to 18 years of wrestling history just for the Jeebus.
Something like that. We've got,
well, now, not exactly. There are still CZW shows going to be running there, but, yeah, both the wrestling schools there, both CZWs and Chikara's,
mm-hmm.
have to be run elsewhere now because, well, they're being forced out.
Right. Now, DJ Hyde's going to go ahead and is supposedly going to have a sit-down with these guys and try to get that to not happen immediately. But you've got to give the new owners a couple of points. And this is probably going to get me in trouble with somebody somewhere, but they kicked the clowns out.
Mm-hmm. They just did that today, in fact. Kicked out Juggalo Championship Wrestling from their iPay-per-view, which would have been on December 30th.
So, I can't really... Sorry, guys, I'm not a Juggalos fan, and I can't say I blame them, but I've got my fingers crossed for CZW. I've got friends there, and even after the craziness that happened last weekend, and Dustin, if you happen to be listening, I'm hoping you're in good spirits. My poor boy laid up with a broken femur.
Mm-hmm.
I want CZW to endure, even if they can't do it in the world's most famous wrestling arena.
Mm-hmm.
Because it ain't just the Garden, right, Brian?
Yeah, you know, the thing about the ECW arena is it was small, but they made a lot of magic there. ECW did a lot of places, did a great job. But one of the things about this sale is that, like you said, apparently, what is it? Apparently, DJ Hyde is going to have a meeting with these guys.
Yeah, mm-hmm. nothing's been confirmed, but they're trying. You know, a lot of his, some of his January stuff is still on. The January 22nd CZW/Evolve doubleheader is still on. But he wants to see what he's going to be allowed to do going forward.
Yeah. I mean, no offense, but if he thought the Philadelphia State Athletic Commission was strict, if these guys are like religious whack jobs, I mean, I don't know what they're going to do. Though it is kind of interesting that your Uncle Paul was offered the chance to have the first one night stand there and actually said no. He said because it is, in his words, not the ECW arena anymore.
Well,
it's been upgraded so much.
There's a lot of things have been done with it. I've had the pleasure of working there myself. I've stood in a ring in this arena. I've been in the Eagle's Nest. I have run for my life during a fight. And the event that I did attend there, which was called Hardcore War, sponsored by an independent, though a lot of TNA and / ECW veterans worked that night. Which did end in nobody having a chair to sit in because all of them had been thrown at the ring.
Nice.
Now, is it still at the corner of Swanson and Rittner?
Yes, under the
mm-hmm.
with the parking lot under the bridge. And just this place, I have been through the entire building, and yes, this place is a dump, but the history, my word, the history. And it's just, you know, it's a horrible, horrible thing. Joey, you can say it better than I can. It's that simple. But, you know, if CZW can keep going in there, awesome. If not, then I mourn, I mourn the end of an era here.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Unfortunately.
It hurts. It still hurts. But I shall not weep. I will weep, however, for the first 20 minutes of Raw, which is probably why the ratings for the Slammy Awards stayed below 3, despite all the returns, despite all the guest appearances. And hey, Virginia, your crowd sucks. Wake up.
Here's the problem. Apparently, they were actually pretty good. The only problem is the arena sucks.
So, did they just didn't have it mic'd correctly? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, that is what I'm saying.
Yeah, and also, there are some arenas where they're just not... There are certain arenas where the sound bounces off the walls really well and can make a three-quarter full house sound hot, and there are some where the acoustics are just abysmal, and I think the Scope is one of them.
Mm-hmm.
That's a shame, because, like I said, it is, as far as I could tell, it wasn't too bad of a show, although, admittedly, I wish I had come in at about 8:30 Eastern. The entire first segment was just a horrendous waste of everybody's time.
Yeah, that was just horrible. Both for Michael Cole, or Hambone, whatever.
Hambone?
And good old JR, even. That was miserable.
And I don't think I took the mute off for the entire 30 minutes.
Whose idea was that?
Booker T's? I don't know.
Can we, like, have him, like, fired now? Whoever thought that segment up, can he just, like, be gone?
Unfortunately, it probably wasn't Hambone's idea, otherwise I would agree with you. Looks like our number 4, Ethan, is not showing up, so I'm just going to press the button right here. Mr. Block.
Yes, sir. By the way, Ethan posted on NAWC yesterday that he is under the weather. You probably missed that.
I did.
That's okay. He did warn us yesterday, so I am here to pinch in for Mr. Boswin. But, yeah, what the heck?
What?
Yeah,
I would have rather taken a few minutes of watching Sheamus trying to dance with Hornswoggle.
I would have liked to have seen a few minutes with Sheamus dancing with Beaker. Okay, that would have been more entertaining.
Logistically, they couldn't do it out in the ring.
No, they couldn't have done it. But you know, I just got to say is that those Slammy Awards are usually never good. They're light on wrestling. But there actually were some things that came out of it that were pretty good.
What else was good with it besides the last 5 minutes?
Okay, think of it this way. The return of the evil Dr. Levesque. Now, the return of the evil Dr. Levesque was to promote the TLC match this weekend, the sledgehammer on a pole, you know, the sledgehammer and ladder match, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Except for one little piece of information. He dropped the bomb that he said the dead man has not been seen since his defeat in WrestleMania 27, correct?
Right. Mm-hmm. Now, the IWC actually thinks that Hunter is speaking literally. Hunter, admittedly, did not beat Undertaker. You know, at the end of the match, Taker won that match, but he lost the war, I think, what the Evil Doc's message is here.
Yes, and he said that the streak is dead. He said that himself. Was that his words? The streak is dead.
Yes.
Right. So, pencil this in, mark this down. Undertaker Triple H 3 at WrestleMania as part of the triple main event.
Hennigers, well, any thoughts?
It does make sense. However, I don't know if I really want to see this again. Not so soon. Because to be honest, the match from WrestleMania 27 was great. Maybe not as great as their original, but still pretty good. Only question is, can Taker and Triple H do it one more time?
Hunter, I'll say also, yes. Taker, I don't know.
Also, I'm pretty happy that Taker now won't be main eventing with against Daniel Bryan, more or less crushing his hopes, dreams, and God knows anything else.
Now, I had my money down for Undertaker Barrett, just to round everything off, but Taker Hunter free, like I said, my worry is more to Taker than it is to Hunter. Hunter looked fairly good in recent months, and he looked pretty good in this match with Punk. I think he'd be fine. It's Taker that, you know, granted has had several months off. He's had work done on his shoulder and his hip, and he says he's ready to go. I don't know.
Well, the fact is, as far as I know, his shoulder is essentially being held together with pins, rubber band, and bar gum.
I thought it would have been crazy glue and hope.
Yeah. Duct tape and prayer is usually what I use.
Yeah, duct tape and the grace of God. But, you know, The Undertaker, for all of the things we say about him, he has always turned it on at WrestleMania. Something happens, he turn it on at WrestleMania and get one good match in.
Yeah.
So,
and check your mic there, Brian, because you're popping like crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm going to get out a second back in. I just want to finish up this thought.
Robots. The future is robots.
I think I will just come back in. Give me a second, guys.
Go ahead.
All right.
Because there's also a third potential main event scheduled. And one of the participants has been really, really, really saying way too much about it.
And who would that be?
That would be one Chris Jericho.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we all have been hearing and knowing that these videos, which the fourth one came out this week. By the way, I finally saw it. Control 2012, I believe it was.
Yes.
Okay. He stated that all the reports about his coming back are, quote, bogus and weak journalism. And that he stated that what he is going to be doing next year is recording an album for Fozzy between January and March.
Yeah, right.
How does that go again? Thou doth protestest too much.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
yeah.
Jericho, I really want to believe you, but I'm sorry, I'm just having trouble with a straight face.
and that's the third main event, which is Jericho CM Punk, probably for the title.
And once that finally gets booked, there's going to be nothing left of the internet between Punk Jericho, Daniel Bryan, and whoever for the World Heavyweight title at WrestleMania. They won't care about Hunter and Undertaker. They'll be too busy salivating just over those two matches.
And then you have The Rock, Cena, and honestly, that is actually one of the most stacked cards in a while.
Yeah.
No joke.
Yeah. So, now let's get to that last 5 minutes of the show.
Yes.
Okay. You know, I am somebody who's supposed to be a professional when it comes to watching these shows, but I've already blown my cover when it comes to Hambone. But I'll tell you what, the last 5 minutes of the show just knocked me on my ass.
It's a mark-out moment! A mark-out, bro!
Mm-hmm.
Because what looked to be more of just a mediocre John Cena-Mark Henry match turned into quite the spectacle when the stage caught fire.
Although astute individuals who watched the show did see the pyros on the ring post before the match,
which I honestly completely missed.
So
and
did
I'm
I.
Usually I'm better than that.
Then again, but I wasn't paying attention, so yeah.
Yeah, that might have been my problem, too, because I'm like, okay, John Cena, meh. Mark Henry, meh. I'm waiting for, you know, I'm waiting for Mark Henry and Big Show to just to start killing each other again. But Kane looked awesome.
I mean, he's got the hair extensions back. I guess he grew all his hair out.
There isn't much left, and I don't think he's grown it out a ton.
What'd you guys think of the pseudo Predator Iron Man mask that he was wearing, that he wore when he first came out?
I thought he just came out of his welding job.
to be honest, I was wondering why he was wearing a Sir Kill-A-Lot mask, but if anyone gets that, kudos to you.
So, but once he took care, once he did the internet a favor and chokeslammed John Cena, he took his Iron Man mask off and has a reprise or perhaps a tribute to his 2002 mask. At least that's what it reminded me of. It just needed actual color pictures appeared on WWE.com or been leaked out from fan photos or whatever, that the mask itself is solid red. It doesn't have black slashes in it like the O2 mask, which, that can add or detract from it. I don't think it's too bad. I'll take it. I'm just looking forward to watching Kane kill people again.
Like John Cena, for one, okay?
Now, you know, Pick'ems is later in the show, but just for just to save everybody a wild card, John Cena Kane is probably going to happen, so don't use your wild card on that.
And it's probably being penciled in as the number one contendership for the WWE title. Well, that's what the ever reputable Wikipedia has to say.
And you know, Wikipedia is sketchy on stuff like this, but I'll flip a coin on it. But right now, I'm not allowing that as a wild card.
Thank you.
Is that fair? Is that fair for you, Jason?
That's fair. Okay. That's cool.
Now, some of the good stuff that's going on in the Fed is not happening on TV. First of all, anybody who's got tickets to house shows, go and enjoy, because you're going to get to see some of these new faces, like Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins.
Oh, there
yes,
you
Trista.
Go.
Whoa, what was that?
That was me squeeing in absolute delight.
Oh, so you're enjoying it?
I know, it's going to be so awesome.
There you go.
Okay. But yes, it will be quite often to see Moxley and Black out there.
There you go.
And
Trista is driving from Canada.
don't worry, they're going to Canada soon. Sooner than Ohio.
Well, they've got Indianapolis after Christmas is what I heard. But that's about as close as they're going to get for you guys. And to make you feel better, Stat Boy, they're not even going to be my neighborhood till February.
Yeah, they're not even in my neighborhood till post WrestleMania at the earliest.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Oh wow. But we've got that going down. Plus, now I don't know how confirmed this is. And Jason, you might want to do some rip and reading for me on this.
What's that?
About some of the Evil Doc's plans when it comes to FCW.
Yes, I thought I gave that to you, but just hold on a second. I'll do the rip and read from our sponsor, WrestleChat.net. So
thank you. Just as a verification, while you're looking for that, essentially, Hunter has finally discovered this huge disconnect between developmental and the Fed, and the fact that somebody somewhere hasn't been getting it for a long time, and they just grab guys out of FCW and say, here, you're going on TV, let's see what you can do. And this doesn't always work. In fact, it doesn't work a lot. Some guys, like Sheamus, at least, got thrown onto TV. He started in ECW, and he had a blast, and he really got his feet wet and got himself moving up. But when we've got guys like some of the NXT Season 1 and Season 2 guys, Slater and Gabriel have pretty much been wallowing in the lower mid card all this time. Percy Watson has fallen off the map.
And Husky Harris as well.
And Brodus Clay, we're on that now. Now, this is, again, from SCW, from a WrestleChat. Excuse me. Triple H's changes for WWE developmental have been discussed for months, look to be happening soon. Matt Malauro, who has been working hands-on in FCW, including as an announcer, is now working at WWE headquarters in Stamford, Connecticut, with the creative team. His role is to help coordinate debuts and new characters being called up. Triple H has the plan of not calling up anyone unless creative has a good idea for the character or a long-term idea of what to do with them. Hey! What a, in the words of Bugs Bunny, that's a pretty good idea, Doc. I mean, seriously, that's kind of fun.
And yeah, a lot of the IWC is like, well, duh.
Yeah. Although right now, not all that is really panning out too well, especially with his superstar initiative, his real superstar initiative, because as you know. The three he's brought in are pregnant, injured, and riding a bicycle.
You talking about Hunico?
Hunico with what we believe is Donnie Marlowe as the bike driver.
Okay.
Haku's son.
And Karma is pregnant, and Sin Cara is...
Botch.
No. Just a badly busted up knee. And welcome back, Brian.
Can y'all hear me better now?
Yeah, much.
Yes.
Yes.
I had to restart my computer. I'm sorry about that.
No, you're fine. Right now we're talking about the Evil Doc finally getting a line of communication between FCW and the Fed, trying to make sure that if they're going to call somebody up, that they actually have something in mind for them instead of just shoving them through the curtain and say, let's see what you got.
Yes, exactly. They need to do that because they've been having some difficulties.
Because we've got a couple of guys that really, if they had been given a little bit more opportunity or time to develop their characters, I think they would have done better. I'll cite Percy Watson.
Oh, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
I like Showtime. Showtime could have been awesome. Okay, seriously.
Right, but unfortunately, the last few times I got to see him at house shows, they took his glasses away. And I hate to say it, but he looks like Charles Barkley in shape.
Whoops.
And they gave him this really weird sequin robe thing that he wore.
Unless your name is Ric Flair or possibly Heath Slater, that's not going to work.
No. And by the way, speaking of weird outfits, did anyone see the weird new outfits that the Coleman brothers were wearing, or the Coleman cousins?
You're talking about what Primo and Epico were wearing on tonight's SmackDown?
Yes, I am.
They weren't horrible. The ponchos they were wearing were pretty much reminiscent of what Chavo Guerrero was wearing near the end of his run.
But the lettering on the bottom was like, the hell?
It wasn't bad.
I wasn't paying attention. I didn't realize there was lettering.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, there is some hope. We're gonna, you know, like I said, they've got some of their more experienced guys hitting the road. Antonio Cesaro is probably still going to stick with FCW for a little bit. I think it might be just the fact that they're still trying to get Chris Hero's medical stuff all straightened out so they can take him in.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know they want him. I can't blame them. Oh.
Objective journalism.
It doesn't work for Hambone. Why should it work here?
Oh, that's, you know what? Fine. That's the new style. Let's go for it.
However, I will not badmouth everybody all the time, with the exception of Randy Orton. I think I've earned that right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Randy Orton actually is actually stunning to show a personality and
yeah,
all that good stuff. But that's just
took him a while.
Well, that's because somebody finally handed him his 2002 stuff and said, hey, remember this?
Yeah.
Rookie Orton? Really?
Rookie Orton and the RNN reports. Go watch those.
That was
and you'll
post,
see.
That was post Rookie Orton. That was 03.
Dude, that was 02 because one of the reports was at Survivor Series 02 during Shawn Michaels' interview.
It sorry, was a very good... I'm used to the April May stuff. You know, the one that got featured in Shut Your Mouth.
Okay. Because in a brilliant piece of heel work, the fact that they interrupted a Shawn Michaels interview is the only reason I can always pinpoint the when Rookie Orton was running around doing these updates.
Mm-hmm.
Because I wanted to hear what Shawn had to say, because this was, you know, he was, you know, he's coming off his feud, he was finished up with his feud with Triple H, but he was still going to have to deal with Triple H in the chamber. It was just, you know, they say the good heel work is what sticks.
Uh-huh.
May I have your attention, please? I've just received an email from the anonymous general manager on my tigergame.com.
Wow! You keep coming up with this stuff, and I'm wondering how far back you're going to go.
Dot, dot, dash, dash, beep, dash, beep.
You remember those things?
Pardon me while I run this back through an emulator so I can actually read this.
Okay.
Okay. This was the only technology available to me since I was halfway back from Afghanistan. The Golden Knight stole my iPad. However,
so
I don't.
That's how we got all those vids.
Yeah. However. I'm hoping that video entertained everybody, especially all of the fun bits with CM Punk claiming that he was a Ghostbuster.
Yes.
But now that we've shilled for them, shill for yourself. Oh. Something tells me we have to take a commercial, gentlemen. So, if you folks will just sit back and relax, we'll be back in a couple of minutes with a little bit of more news, and then we can really start talking TLC.
You're listening to the North American Wrestling Connection, presented by WrestleChat.net. on the CLW83 network.
How many pro wrestling news websites do you visit to get your daily news? 3, 4, maybe 5? Do yourself a favor and make that number 1. WrestleChat.net, the only professional wrestling news site that brings you all wrestling news all day long, and is home of the critically acclaimed Still Real to Us podcast, starring former CZW ROH and ECW announcer Eric Arjulo and the champ Jeff Peck. That's WrestleChat.net. WrestleChat, it's where it's at.
Williams Wear is now a part of the CLW83 network and is proud to offer official CLW83 network merchandise. Go to williamswear.clw83.com, click the CLW83 Wear button, and browse through an ever-growing, ever-changing selection of items dedicated to your favorite CLW83 shows and websites. The BS Big Show, the NAWC, Game Show Garbage, and many more. All available at williamswear.clw83.com, the official online store of the CLW83 network. Tune in and shop right now.
Exclusive interviews and thought-provoking discussion on pop culture and reality TV. Listen live every Tuesday at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific. To Pop to Reality, where pop culture meets reality TV. Hosted by Jeff Weiss and Mark Roberts. Pop to Reality on Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Jim Williams, and you're listening to the CLW 83 Network. Tune in.
Could you plug yourself anymore?
And we are back. And just before we get into more news, just a little programming note. If you guys are worried about catching the NAWC over your Christmas weekend, don't panic. We are not going to be airing on December the 23rd so that everybody can sit back and relax and enjoy their Christmas and forget about Hambone for a day. Actually, I don't want to talk about Hambone. I want to talk about Punk.
Oh, you mean the most quote-unquote buried star of 2011? Yeah,
damn. I'm serious. Didn't they? They should have given him a Slammy for that instead of the Pipe Bomb Award. They should have given it to him for the most underrated, underutilized, and, you know, unnecessary talent of all of WWE.
God. You mean the guy who's going to be the face of WWE for the next year? Seriously,
a year? I think we're gonna be going a lot longer than that, and I think he's really gonna be putting his mark on the company.
What are you looking at?
Somebody who's gonna take your place, Sean. Watch it.
You ain't kidding. you are not kidding. I mean, I will say we'll preview about what I think for next week, but CM Punk. Is actually this year has made about as much of an impact, and I will say this with all seriousness, as Stone Cold Steve Austin did in 1996. I mean, it's that big.
Hennigers, would you like to fill in? Would you like to agree, disagree, dispute?
I agree. I mean, go ahead.
I don't have anything. Go ahead yourself.
I definitely agree. I think... He has taken that ball and ran with it and done so much with it, and you can tell the company has put a lot of faith into him, which is good, obviously. By the way, can I just say kudos to whomever came up with the idea of using You've Got the Touch by Stan Bush in the John Laurinaitis video. That was comedy gold.
Oh, my goodness. That video... I wish I had been involved in the editing of this video, just for the fact that I would have not been able to keep a straight face through the entire process. So thank you, CM Punk, for making me laugh to the point of almost falling off the couch with the old Dynamic Dudes video footage, the mannequin,
the 80s shirt.
The 80s shirt and the 80s graphics that went into that video.
Wait, the 80s shirt? That was a Dynamic Dudes WCW shirt.
Okay, early 90s. But after Punk decided to have his fun with his boss and speak of the Funk Man, he hopped on a plane and had all kinds of fun. Skydiving with the Golden Knights, getting beat up by his partner in the process of skydiving, if anybody's seen this video.
Yeah.
Also, the picture of him, Del Rio, Cody Rhodes, Eve, Kofi, and I want to say there was somebody else. That might have been everybody doing the slow Reservoir Dogs walk down the runway. That's been all over the place. Somebody decided to Photoshop a Michael Bay-style explosion directly behind them, sent it to Punk, and Punk retweeted it because it was that awesome.
Nice.
Very cool.
And once he was done with that, he got back into town, he dropped into Baltimore, found a radio station, and they handed him a pipe bomb, and off he went. They went ahead and asked him a few questions about what was going on. This was an interview with 98 Rock in Baltimore. And, you know, they were asking him about all this change that we're seeing. And he said this isn't something that's going to happen overnight. This is changes that are being put in place that is going to continue to affect the WWE 10 years down the road. And this ranges everywhere from storytelling to merchandising. Yes, that includes the ice cream bars.
Which, that better happen in 2012. That better happen.
Mm-hmm. He made a couple of comments regarding some of the superstars, specifically The Rock. And as a worker, I understand his frustration. The fact that Rock can just walk in, have a match, everybody loves him, and then leave. Punk is livid. He's like, why isn't anybody else pissed off about this? Yes, we're making money, but he's never here. He is not supporting the company.
I agree.
Mm-hmm.
I do too. I mean, I really
so,
do.
Punk, you're not alone, man. I understand, because that's why I don't, you know, that's why I would think that, you know, Rock should be the heel in all of this. But, you know, the internet is clamoring for Cena to be the heel. No. The other one he made a couple comments on was Del Rio. And he said this is a symptom that WWE has of one of their big problems, and that's in the booking department, that they'll build a guy up and they'll build a guy up and then they'll cut the guy's legs out from under him. And we've seen this happen to Kofi, we've seen this happen to Swagger, and Punk says this happened to ADR at WrestleMania. To be honest, that's a tough coin toss just because of the whole Edge situation. I think if Edge had been 100% and was able to go, you know, was able to have gone into Extreme Rules, I think they would have gone ahead and put the belt on Del Rio, and he could have put Edge out as the end of his injury angle. You know, guys, I would have been at a loss for this one. Ryan?
You know, I do agree with you there. They do build a guy up, and then they will cut his legs out. The problem is, I think the biggest problem is that WWE has lost the art of the slow build. And so, you'll get guys who are built up super, super quick, and if they don't connect with an audience immediately, they just throw them on the scrap heap. That's not how you're supposed to build a guy up. You build him up over a course of several weeks.
They did that with, and the big example of someone who survived that is Sheamus, actually.
He has, because Jack Swagger just went down in flames after they took the belt off of him. He has been nowhere near where he should be as a competitor ever since they took the world title off of him. He's a flunky for Hambone.
Although I will say this much about Sheamus and how he has survived. He thrived because he has a very unique look, and he can actually go, and that's the important thing.
And the IWC says, yeah, and he's buddies with the Evil Doc.
So.
And. That doesn't help everybody. Look at Sin Cara. Oh, wait.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's see. What was the other thing I wanted to put in here? Punk also made a comment that he was privy to who the Raw general manager was going to be. But he's not going to tell us.
Mm-hmm.
He said it had gone on so long that only one or two people would have even made the whole angle worthwhile, but it went on way too long. And like many other angles, when they don't get, where they don't have a guy get his legs cut out from under him, it was quietly dropped. So, alas.
He also Tori as the stalker.
Oh.
Well, I mean, it'll be about as, you know, we'll never find that out as long as the, you know, as the driver of, what's its face, the driver of the limo, WCW.
Who drove the Hummer? Yeah. This goes on the scrap heap with who drove the Hummer, who raised the briefcase.
Yes.
And what was the other one? And who the higher power really was, because it wasn't Vince, anyway.
No, exactly.
So, and for the female fans, Punk is single again.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, sorry, that
Lamb of Punk is no longer in existence.
Although he just said girls have cooties on his Twitter account, so you never know. He did.
Tisk. Anyway.
Oh, by the way.
Yes.
Nikki, I have a slight bit of news for you.
Talk to me.
You know our favorite food stamp using wrestler, Ink Inc.'s Jesse Neal?
I do.
Apparently he's gone from TNA.
Mm.
Well, yeah, because TNA wouldn't pay for, I believe it's the moving costs?
I take it he tendered his resignation because TNA wouldn't help him pay his relocation costs from Orlando to Nash to Louisville.
Mm-hmm.
Good for him, actually, because I think he has a point. They're telling him that he has to go work in Louisville. Well, he's got everything set up there in Orlando so that he could work there. And he's not going to fly back and forth from Orlando to Louisville, because even the cheapest flight for that is going to be $150, and they wouldn't even foot that. So, Mr. Neal, once if you have a no compete, go ahead and ride that out, and please send your resume up north. Who knows?
You never know. Seriously. By the way, if you did see TNA programming this week, and I know some people did and some people didn't, the reason why both Jarretts got fired, because that was part of the angle of the pay-per-view this weekend,
mm-hmm.
was because Jeff is actually overseeing the TNA India division for a little while. So he has to go back and forth in India. And Karen Jarrett is actually having surgery on her foot. So that is why they are both taking time off.
However, I'm still dinging TNA for the fact that they did not give the answer at the pay-per-view and decided to reserve that for Impact. No offense, but that's shit you should be making people pay for.
Mm-hmm.
And they wonder why they have trouble getting people to buy their pay-per-views. I just, maybe I'm just being too logical. Might be my fault. But it's TNA, so, you know.
Oh, what fun is there in making sense?
Ah, John Delancey! Yes, very good.
John Delancey has Discord with a Q.
Yes.
Anyway, Stat Boy.
Aye.
Get your spreadsheet ready, because we're starting
late.
Okay, good, because we've only got 11 minutes to go ahead and get these pick-ems out of the way, unless you guys want to play an archive.
Let's try and do what we can do.
All righty.
Right.
We have... officially... We have 6 matches, 7 points, and of course, gentlemen, do not forget about your wild cards.
Got it. Mm-hmm. I have it ready to be placed down.
Stat
Same
Boy?
Same deal.
Stat Boy, wherever you would like to begin.
And here's your first match. The least important match on this card by far and large. Randy Orton, Wade Barrett.
The
One
Barrett,
point. Who wins?
Yes. The Barrett barrage has been slowly taking over SmackDown, and supposedly Barrett has been getting into the head of Randy Orton. This is a tables match, guys. Jason, what do you see?
I see the Barrett barrage continuing. I see Orton being frustrated. Barrett puts Orton through a table.
Brian, what do you got?
I've got Randy Orton destroying the Barrett barrage and winning the match.
And Staff Boy?
As for me, it's Law Orton. What else do you expect? Law Orton wins.
I would hope this isn't one of those story things that Punk was talking about. I don't want to see Barrett's legs cut out from under him. Barrett puts Orton through a table, please.
Okay. Next. For our next match, and for the first of the titles of the night, we have ourselves one of the better booked angles, and as of late, Dolph Ziggler, Zack Ryder, United States title on the line. 1 point, who wins?
Zack Ryder's been on an internet-wide tear, and hopefully has a good shot at finally realizing his dream of having something, having a belt other than one that he made at home. Jason, who do you got?
If Ryder loses, we riot. Ryder wins and goes into 2012, making Dolph Ziggler's life nuts.
Stat Boy, what do you got?
Woo, woo, woo. You know it. Otherwise,
did you check the chat room for the first match?
Oh, I'm sorry. Chat room. VRM. VRM's the only one. Go ahead.
All right, VRM, who is in our chat room. Hello, hello. Has chosen Woi Barra, and of course he chose Ryder like a smart man.
So, apologies. Stat Boy, I take it you are agreeing with VRM on the second match?
Oh, yeah. If Ryder loses, not only are the legs cut out from under him, he's back to the lower mid-card. He must win.
And I'm the one holding up the broom here because this is benefiting both of them.
Yeah.
This benefits
you guys forgot
both.
Me.
Sorry, I am sorry, Brian. I apologize.
I was waiting.
Okay, Zack Ryder wins, then he and Mr. Belding go out for a Max Burger.
Yeah. Yes.
So, as I said, I'm holding up the broom because.
Wow. Boom.
Because Zach gets his introduction to the B card, Ziggler's on his way to the A card.
Mm-hmm.
Guys, and I hear a lot of robots.
It's your end.
Yeah, I don't hear anything.
Okay, it's cleared up now.
Next.
All right, to our next match, and for the second belt, a guy who has been pretty much the personification of the belt as of late versus a guy who hasn't seen a title in years, let alone a match or two in years in the WWE. Cody Rhodes versus Booker T.
This one has the Intercontinental title on the line, and for a wrestler announcer shoot, this has had a hell of a build-up. Stat Boy, what do you got?
Well, I've got Rhodes winning. There is no way that Booker is going to take this, and I'm slapping down the wild card here.
Go for
it. We're going to see Hambone interference.
That's a solid place for that wild card. Jason, what do you got?
I will place my wild card and agree with him totally. Hambone, because they're going to continue the Booker T, Michael Cole feud because Booker T has been doing it. Hambone will interfere. Cody Rhodes wins.
Brian, what do you got?
Second verse, same as the first. Hambone interferes. Booker gets screwed. Booker hopefully comes out the next week and beats the ever-loving beaver snot out of Michael Cole.
Are you playing the wild card here?
Sorry, I am.
Yes, I am.
Okay.
Henry VIII, I am.
Holding on to my wild card for now, Cody Rhodes wins because they're not putting a belt on Booker, and I believe Cody has momentum right now.
And once I get VRM's results, I can bring out the broom. Alright, while we wait for VRM, let's head on to the next match. The evil Dr. Levescu versus I can't grow a proper mustache to save my life. It's Triple H versus Nash in a sledgehammer on a pole, I mean on a some or another match. Vince Russo.
Hunter and Nash get to play on a ladder for the sake of a sledgehammer, and I read a comic somewhere that they're both going to blow out their knees, and the only reason Hunter wins is because he can still climb.
Oh,
Brian, what do you got?
So basically this is a stairway to sledgy match.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. You know, I've got reasonable hopes for this match. I think that if Triple H is motivated, and if Kevin Nash is motivated, they can put on a halfway decent match. I think that Kevin Nash wins through direct interference by John Laurinaitis, but I've already used my wild card, so I can't make that prediction. So I'm just going to say Kevin Nash comes out on top, and the feud continues on.
Oh, shit. That reminds me. Stat Boy. Can you do me a favor?
Yeah.
On my U.S. title match, give me my wild card.
Gotcha.
Cena interferes.
All right.
Oh, very good.
Ryder, Cena interference.
Ooh, very good. Very good call.
So, yeah. Sorry about that. Okay.
We were talking about that earlier.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Okay, yeah. Let me get back to this. Brian, did I just get your pick for Hunter Nash?
Yes, you did.
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Jason?
In the opposite direction, there's no way Kevin Nash is going to win this. Triple H wins and ends this so he can move on to The Undertaker.
Stat Boy.
Ding, ding, ding. Nash can't wrestle, or at least he is so injured and so old that he can no longer put it together. Triple H wins, ends this silly little feud, and as Jason said, he goes on to Taker. And VRM agrees with us, by the way.
And what Hunter...
What about the other match, the one that he was predicting? Did he sweep on Ryder?
He is sweep on Rhodes.
There's another broom here, because the Evil Doc's going to take care of this, because didn't they learn anything about 2003 Bad Blood? Anyway...
there is no broom. Jim and Brian both picked Nash. Jim put in his picks beforehand.
Right, you're right. Sorry. Next match.
All right, and to our first of two world title matches. Show Henry. 1 point, who wins?
Stat Boy, I'll start with you.
Well, considering that they keep on bulldozing the Hall of Pain... Mark Henry is going to win this chairs match.
Jason.
Mark Henry wins the chairs match to continue his dominance as, in my opinion, one of the best heels of 2011.
Brian.
I agree. I think Mark Henry will continue his rise. And I'm with you too, Jason. He is one of the best heels in WWE right now. I give him all the credit in the world.
Not to mention, show has all the momentum, so, yeah, Henry's got to take this.
All right, no broom for this, unfortunately, because Jim picked show before we came in.
All right, and the main is probably going to go into archives, so go
Merry
ahead.
Christmas to everyone. May it be, you know, a safe holiday.
Indeed. And please be careful out there and be kind to your cashiers. They're probably more stressed out than you are. And you don't need to fuel their fire.
Because they'll overcharge you.
Yeah, we'll double scan on accident. And by accident, I'm
Easy, Stat Boy. Easy, easy, easy.
Posted on notalwaysright.com.
But, yeah, Merry Christmas, everyone, and we'll see you guys on the 30th, but go listen to Archive.
Mm-hmm. Seriously.
You'll understand.
Yes.
One and... Bing! Okay.
All right.
Stat Boy, let's do that main.
All right. Before we see the main, VRM did put in his picks before we ended our normal show. Henry wins, and the wild card gets played here. Kane comes in and beats the ever-loving crap out of Mark Henry.
I'd like to see that. Although, like I said, I'm still expecting Kane Cena. But,
all right.
But go on.
All right, and now we're to the main event. The triple threat for the WWE Championship. Your champion, CM Punk. Your challengers, Alberto Del Rio and The Miz, if I remember right.
Yes.
It would have been originally a fatal four-way, but as you all know, Cena directly said, fuck it, Ryder gets one more chance, and then Ryder, that's where Ryder is now in the U.S. title match. So yes, to the triple threat. 2 points here. Who wins and who gets pinned?
This is not a pin match, if I'm not mistaken, isn't it?
It's true, this is a full-blown TLC match.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear. Did I screw something up?
No, we both did that. We both did that, so don't worry about it. It's a straight-up TLC.
All right.
So what we'll do is that we'll just discard that second point.
Right.
We'll just discard
I'll put
that
up the X's.
It's no big deal. Who pulls down that belt?
I don't care who, but Jim, you mother...
What?
Jim screwed me up.
Why did he do that?
Well, he was the first one who put in Punk over Del Rio.
Well, but I'm the one who told him who
yeah.
won his pin, so that's on me.
Okay.
So
sorry.
Just call Punk to win.
Yeah.
Okay.
Call him as a Punk to win.
Yeah. I've got that down.
Okay.
All right.
So, Jason?
This is a no-brainer to me, honestly. Punk is the face of the WWE, not Cena, not Miz, not Del Rio. Punk's the face of the company. He is the biggest over guy in a long, long time. And I'm loving watching every moment of it. Punk gets the belt and goes into 2012 with it.
Brian?
Punk has to win this match. This will help set up, hopefully, the return of Jericho. And the rumor that's going around is that Jericho is going to feud with him once he makes his return. So there you go.
Stat Boy?
Yeah, if Punk doesn't win, then we have a really, really weird dichotomy in WWE, because it would be more or less just one or two faces on the Raw side that can really contend. Wait a minute, what am I... Yeah, just two. That'd be Punk in a rematch and Cena. That's it. And I don't think you would throw Ziggler in there just yet. It's a little too quick.
No, but he is. He's on my short list for winning the Rumble. But go ahead.
Yeah. So yeah, Punk must win. Must win.
And I will be on that list as well for one of the most obvious reasons of all. Punk is the face in a triple threat against two heels. You know this rule, guys.
Of course.
Yep.
And then, you know, I've already played my wild card, but if, you know, Punk couldn't you just see it, though, if Punk was sitting on top of the ladder celebrating and Kane's pyro goes off and he comes out and dumps Punk off the ladder into a stack of tables?
Could be.
Don't write that down. I've already used my wild card.
No, I know. Kane is just going to, he's going to cause havoc.
Yay. I have missed this version of Kane. I have missed my Hellhound terribly.
Right. Listen, I don't mean to cut you off early, but I have some phone calls that I have to make. My sister is 38 as of now on the East Coast, so yay to her. And that's that.
Happy birthday to her.
Thank you. And so I'm out. I'll talk to you later.
All righty. Night, Jason.
Night.
Good night.
Bye.
Now, quick question to you two. Are either of you going to attempt to see this pay-per-view?
100% no, because I have to work until midnight.
I am so sorry, man.
Yeah, 4:30 to midnight.
Blah. So, don't expect I will not expect pick-em answers until Monday morning.
Correct. Or sometime late. Early Monday morning, about 12:31.
That's fair. Now, Brian, you look for it?
I don't think I'll be able to. My mama's birthday is this Sunday. We're having a party that night, so I may get to, I may not. It'll all depend on how things go.
Fair enough. I am actually off work Sunday. I have to work tomorrow. But I'm going to go ahead and grab it in standard def. I want to see this triple threat. I want to see Ryder win. I want to see what Kane's going to do to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, good.
I have to say that how much I just prefer the mask Kane.
No, I'm on board with you. I was introduced, since I didn't jump in with watching the Fed till 2001, I got to see him. You know, I saw him masked before I got to see him unmasked. Actually, I was watching the show that I wish I had been at the show, but I was watching the show the night that Kane got unmasked, and it was unfortunately bad, but it was really hard to do the way they had that set up. But I loved his 2002-2003 run when he first came back, when he was being the big goofy face and just enjoying things. When he, you know, the whole promo with him and Rock and Hogan.
Oh, that was hilarious. The Canaanites.
The whole Canaanites thing. Which they actually used, and for anybody, whoever talked about the slow build, how they decided to start slowly turning him after his tag title run with Hurricane, then tagging with RVD, and how they slowly twisted him back towards being a monster.
Mm-hmm.
Just remembering when things fell apart with him and RVD over the holidays that year, which brought us the Zen of Hungry Hungry Hippos promo. And to anybody who says that RVD cannot cut a good promo, needs to go watch that one.
Mm-hmm.
And Kane looking at him saying, "I don't like Hungry Hungry Hippos."
No, he didn't have to say anything. It was the fact that RVD was existentializing the game. Sat there and gave us the whole existential reason for Hungry Hungry Hippos.
Mm-hmm.
And Kane just gives him a weird look and walks away. And Rob looks at him and says, "Dude, I knew I should have gotten him Chutes and Ladders." I had the pleasure of seeing that tag team in person. One of the first shows I attended when I came to Ohio. It was Kane and RVD versus Lance Storm and William Regal. This was just before William Regal kind of disappeared on us for about a year and a half with whatever that condition was that made him gain all that water weight.
Mm-hmm.
Where he was gone for, I think, almost 2 years. This was one of his last matches. I have this spectacular picture. Just after Kane lit the ring post, you can see the referee with his head down. You can see RVD covering his head. But you see Kane standing straight up looking around. Nothing to it. Nothing to it at all. So yes, I'm a goof when it comes to Kane. I'm so happy he's back.
Mm-hmm. And you know, he is from my neck of the woods. He's from Eastern Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
He lives out in Dandridge, Tennessee, if my memory serves me correctly.
I found out he was a gamer.
Dude is smart too. Mm-hmm. He is super intelligent. He recently came to Knoxville. Recently, about 2 years ago, and made a speech at a Republicans convention, and they just billed him as Glenn Jacobs, a.k.a. WWE's Kane.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'd have paid a lot of money to attend that event if he'd shown up in full gear and a mask.
Only thing that would be better? Rein in Paul Bearer.
Be tempting. I honestly don't think they're going to need Paul Bearer for Kane this time. Not this time. But we'll see. I think we've done enough damage for one night, gentlemen.
I think we have.
Mm-hmm.
Guys, I'm sorry I was late tonight. Like I said, I had a Christmas party I went to, and I tried to get back here in time.
No, you're fine. And I send my apologies to Ethan that I did miss his note. That's why I was looking for him, but Jason was more than gracious to jump in.
Mm-hmm.
So, but you guys get a week off, and Stepboy, I know you're going to need it because you're going to be up to your neck in irate choppers.
Yeah, I'm going to be up my neck and irate shoppers for the next week plus. And then I get to find out if whether or not I wind up having my job past Christmas shortly after.
Ew.
Yeah, I'm a temp. What do you expect?
No. I'm with you. We sent a lot of our temps home a couple of weeks ago because where I am, everything is kind of slowed down. Then it picked up again.
Yeah.
Figures, anyway. But I might have some news with the December 30th show, but I can't go into it right now.
Okay.
That's just to make sure people listen on the 30th. No, that's not true. But if I wanted to shill, I would say that we're having a two-hour spectacular. We're going to have our end-of-year stuff. I don't know if I'm going to actually do a Nikki Awards or if I'm just going to throw out titles and let everybody, you know, make their own speculations. I am going to have a guest on the show. Got somebody else coming in. No, it won't be Super Oprah, but he's going to come in for a little bit, and we will talk to him about the business.
There you go.
So yep. That should hold everybody for a little while. So, on your way, gentlemen.
All right.
May you have a wonderful, wonderful Christmas.
Yep. Have a good Christmas, everyone, and we'll see you, or at least hear from you, on the 30th.
That's right. Gentlemen, good night.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.
For more information about this podcast and all of our other podcasts, please visit our website at clwa3.com. Any questions or comments? Please send an email to clwa3network@gmail.com. This has been a presentation of the CLW83 Network. Tune in.